In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Allow me, you have no choice, allow me a moment for nostalgia. When I was a schoolboy, I attended a school in which whenever a schoolmaster, schoolmistress came into the room, the boy nearest the door had to get up and hold the door. And it just occurred to me that maybe from that time, I still continue readily to open doors for people and rush to open the car door for whoever may be moving in, ladies only. The biblically literate headmaster used to say at that point, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Only in later years did I have the response, I'm glad I was never given that choice. Why were you searching for me? Luke 2:49. My beloved Matthew Henry, Presbyterian minister, Bible expositor of the late 17th century, writes this. We have here the only passage of story recorded concerning our blessed Saviour between those years of infancy and the years he appeared to Israel at 29. We are concerned to make much of it, for it is in vain to wish we had more. No wonder Norman Mailer writes that book, The Gospel According to the Son, wanting to somehow recreate as best as he could what happened to Jesus in those 30 or so years. And yet, to our dismay, this story, this one star in an otherwise dark firmament of 30 years, is taken up with parental carelessness, childish precocity, astonishment and confusion. 1 year shy of rightly feared teenage years, parents, you know what I mean, the child Jesus both at one and the same time renders religious ministers speechless, you wish you knew how to do that, and engenders articulation in his parents, Jesus, Mary and Joseph indeed. Why were you searching for me? I suggest three reasons. Mary and Joseph were searching for Jesus because of careless assumptions. Now, we know it is part of a child's genetic composition that he or she will wander, roam, investigate whenever opportunity provides. The child, lacking a sense of appropriate decency, which is almost a creedal belief among us Anglicans, the child will appear in the most surprising of situations, dauntless and without inhibition. And Jesus, the boy, was no exception. But it is the parent's role then and now to assume nothing except the need for vigilance and attention. Yesterday, Wendy and I had a little discussion about the distinction between assume and presume. I assumed I was right. She presumed I was wrong. It's somewhere there. They assumed their son was somewhere in the hordes of people that were returning to their homes from the big city festivities. And this assumption, would you believe it, they happily bore for one whole day. And then it occurs to them, where's Jesus? And the frantic search begins. Now, unlike the wise men at the end of Luke's story, who were told to return by a different way, Mary and Joseph are told to retrace their steps just in case Jesus is somewhere on the way loitering. I guess the two parents were often asked one of the most frustrating, irritating questions, Well, where were you when you lost him? Because whenever I hear that, I would say, well, if I knew that, they wouldn't be lost. But Holy Mary and Holy Joseph did not thus reply. There are many times throughout history, even today, when churches and other institutions have carelessly assumed that God is with them, with their policies and practices, with them as they have compounded abuse and ignored injustice. And even when confronted by confirmed truths of psychology and medicine, the churches have persisted in careless assumption, in disowning those in need, withholding parity for the outcast, and refusing entry to those who seek God's love within God's community. But we also are not unlike Mary and Joseph. On our merry or not so merry way, we assume that God is with us. Blessing, for instance, our New Year resolutions without ever having the thought of praying before we made them and seeking his guidance upon them. We assume God is with us, stashed in backpack, relegated to briefcase or bag. And in the God of whom we heard and studied in Sunday school years ago, we consider that that God is still with us. Jesus, meek and mild. Careless assumption. And sometimes too, like Mary and Joseph, we must carefully retrace our steps when for us the whole thing of spiritual life was passionate and eager, full of excitement and anticipation. Why were you searching for me? Well, again, Mary and Joseph were searching for Jesus because of what I call hesitant reluctance. Imagine what it was like having God growing up in your family. Though maybe some of us have lived with people that make it feel rather like that, but that's another story. What was it like for Jesus? And it's appropriate that now and again we wonder when it was that Jesus knew that he was God. When was he aware of his divinity? In utero? In manger? At play with his friends? In teenage years, best kept silent? Or when? Now, it's my belief that Jesus' self-awareness was a process. It ebbed and flowed. It tended to be, on the whole, a gradual consciousness of nature, who he was, and vocation, what he was to do. But every so often, there would be eruptions of complete faith, such as this 12-year-old incident. But there would also be deflations of doubt. Who am I? Who do people say that I am? So have pity on his parents, astonished, but also confused, even within a few sentences of the gospel. We know that if their perception were but keener, understanding but sharper, minds but more open, they would have known, of course they would, that Jesus was about the Father's business in the Father's house. But who can justly fault or suggest blame, given their hesitant reluctance? Friends, we too are often marked by hesitant reluctance. We vacillate between astonishment and confusion, between using cell phones during sermons and also paying attention. We vacillate between wonder and indifference, between excitement and ennui. But this is who we are in the spiritual life. This is our spiritual journey. It is always a journey. Yesterday at my desk, thinking on this sermon, I remembered from long ago a hymn sung to the Londonderry air, "O Danny Boy." I suggested to Wendy yesterday that I would sing it. Her response was, "Don't." But I will read you two verses. For to me they sum up this balance between astonishment and confusion. I cannot tell how he whom angels worship should stoop to love the peoples of the earth, or why as shepherd he should seek the wanderer with his mysterious promise of new birth. But this I know, that he was born of Mary, when Bethlehem's manger was his only home, and that he lived at Nazareth and labored, and so the Savior of the world is come. I cannot tell how silently he suffered, as with his peace he graced this place of tears, or how his heart upon the cross was broken, the crown of pain to 33 years. But this I know, he heals the brokenhearted and stays our sin and calms our lurking fear and lifts the burden from the heavy laden. For yet the Savior of the world is here. Why were you searching for me? And finally, Mary and Joseph were searching for Jesus simply because of parental love. I spoke a little while ago with a member of this parish who spoke with great admiration of her son and his wife who were caring for a chronically disabled person. She never thought that her son would ever be able to cope. And she was astounded, amazed, that he loved the child so much that he could do it. Sometimes it's just that simple. We love. In the area of divinity and humanity, of children and parents, and all those in loving those sometimes conflicted relationships. We search, we seek, we pursue the experience of finding the one whom we can love freely and the one who will offer us love liberally. This was no easy search for the Holy Step family. Now that doesn't look so good on all these Christmas adverts, does it? It looks better to say, welcome to celebration of the Holy Family. But they were not. They were the Holy Step family. And though Luke continues to write of Jesus' parents, though Mary refers to Joseph as one of Jesus' parents, it is Mary, not Joseph, who upbraids the child. You see, Joseph had learned that wonderful lesson for all stepfathers. You ready? Step back. Maybe Mary's tone is a little fierce, but she comes to the temple with an enormous amount of shame. And like us, sometimes when we feel ashamed, we become angry and we hit at the person nearest to us, even God. When the man in this pulpit was about 12, I was taken to Trafalgar Square by my uncle, truly called Ben Hur. He lost me. A London bobby found me and took me to Scotland Yard. And even now, I remember the parade of police officers who would open the door, put their head round, and say, "Sonny, why are you here?" And I said, "I'm lost." And always they replied, "No, you're not. You're found." You're not lost. You're found. And whether we are the ones engaged in search, or the ones who feel lost, we are found, safe in the Father's house. Amen.